Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all here. Can you believe it? Only 10 days until Christmas. I don't even know where November went. Hey, just went like a flash. It's crazy. Who here has finished their Christmas shopping? Cool. A few hands. Awesome. Solid effort. That's good. Put your hand up if you haven't even started your Christmas shopping yet. Cool. That's like how I normally am. You guys need to get a wriggle on and, get your game on. Yeah, we had a really great night on Friday night. We had a last Friday night of youth here. So for those who don't know, we have around 40, 45 sort of youth and young adults here that run run a youth ministry. So we have games, we have music, we have a positive message about Jesus every week. And on Friday night, it was great to see the leaders actually pitched in and bought a present for every single one of the youth. And we actually hid them all out the back and had a big scavenger hunt. So the youth were running around trying to find their present. And it was really great. It was a whole lot of fun. You know, I absolutely love Christmas. I love that we're able to celebrate, you know, Jesus as our Savior. I love that we're able to, you know, celebrate friends and family. I know that sometimes Christmas is hard for some of us and can be a bit messy. But I hope that you guys can, you know, spend some good quality time with friends and family over Christmas. I also love, you know, that we're able to sing songs. We're able to sing carols like we did this morning. And I don't know if you've ever realized, but some of our carols that we sing, you know, they involve Mary. They involve Jesus' mother, Mary. But have you ever come to realize that not many songs that we sing actually involve Joseph? And we don't actually talk about Joseph very often at church. So this morning, I'm going to continue the series When Love Came Down. But I'm also going to put a different spin on it, a different perspective, and actually talk about the perspective of Joseph in the Bible story of Jesus' birth. So this is going to work for me, hopefully. I'm just going to move on to the next slide. Thanks, Lauren. That'll be really cool. So we are going to look today on the perspective of Joseph on basically leading up to the birth of Jesus and then the birth of Jesus. And, you know, I find it just really amazing and I'm really impressed by the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph is a guy who doesn't really have many lines. He doesn't say much in the Bible, but he has some actions where I believe that we're able to learn a lot. And just from Joseph's response, we're actually able to, have a lot of those lessons that, you know, we can actually learn from the Bible and actually put that into our own life. So I'm just going to pray and then we're actually going to get into God's word and going to look at Matthew 1 today. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that we can be here together and just talk about you, celebrate you, pray to you. We pray, Father, that this morning you help us to just understand more of your love, more of your truth. We pray that your word can just be revealed to us in a way that, you know, you intended it to be. We pray, Father, that you can help us to just know more of who you are today and just be challenged to get to know you and love you more. In your precious name, amen. Awesome, guys. We're going to go on to the next slide. Thanks, Lauren. I think I'll need you to click some. So we're going to read from Matthew 1. So the first half of Matthew 1 is a genealogy. It's talking about how, you know, all the way from Abraham, all the way to David, all the way to Joseph then, goes through a whole list of names of, you know, ancestry of where Jesus' lineage actually comes from. But now we're actually going to start on verse 18. We're going to look at from 18 to 25. So if you have your Bibles, read along, but it will be up on the screen. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Next slide, thanks. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Next one, please. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Talking about the prophet Isaiah here. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, we talked about last week, I believe Lindsay was talking about and mentioning that, you know, God, he chose Mary. He chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And I believe that Mary, like I said before, yeah, we sing about Mary, and I believe that that is rightfully so. I believe that Mary is somebody who's very special, that God actually chose and we can honor. We don't worship Mary here, but we do definitely respect and honor her. And when we think about Joseph, you know, I believe that Joseph as well was very important to, you know, to this story, and that God actually chose him. You know, there was no physical, biological part of fathering Jesus that Joseph had. But he did have a huge role in nurturing Jesus, in nurturing Mary, and he had a heart and an attitude of obedience. So we're actually going to explore that this morning. So Lauren, can we please go back to, go back a couple of slides to, yep, that one. Perfect. So I don't know if you've ever actually thought too much about Joseph, but you know, he was the father of God's son, which is a little bit interesting to think about, right? So can you imagine Joseph raising little baby Jesus, and you're like, okay, so today I'm going to teach God's son how to walk. Today I'm going to teach God's son how to use manners. Today I'm going to teach God's son how to not make inappropriate bodily noises. You know, that was the sort of role that Joseph actually had, you know. But we believe as well that Joseph actually had a huge responsibility, because not only was he, you know, the father of Jesus here on earth, but you know, 2,000 years ago in this culture, you know, it was all the businesses were actually, you know, passed down from the family. So Joseph would have been the one to actually teach Jesus carpentry, would have been the one to teach him his trade. And so because of that, we believe that Joseph would have spent, you know, just as much time, if not more time, with Jesus than really anybody else on earth, which is a really, really interesting thing. So when we read here Matthew 1, we know first off that Mary and Joseph were pledged to be married, right? And it doesn't actually say the word married here. It says, it does say married, but they weren't married at this point in time. They were pledged to be married. So in our circumstance, that would look a little bit more like an engagement. But, you know, back then, the families, you know, they had bonds, they had ties. They were really, you know, this was a really important thing that they were pledged to be married. And we can read here as well that she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to think about this for a moment from Joseph's perspective. What would Joseph think if all of a sudden his wife-to-be was pregnant and he knew it wasn't him? He's like, I have not slept with her. What would his conclusion be? That, you know, somebody else has actually slept with his wife. And, you know, that is a very hurtful thing to actually consider. So when you look at Joseph, you know, this is a really big, fat and rotten situation right now. And I believe that he would have felt very betrayed at this moment. You know, he'd want to try to understand the truth, but in this situation, you know, it doesn't happen very often that the Holy Spirit, you know, impregnates your wife-to-be. He would just jump to all conclusions. And I love that we read here that, you know, it says that because Joseph was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So one thing about Joseph's character that I want to point out, firstly, is that even though Joseph felt betrayed, even though Joseph felt probably really hurt at this point in time, he actually did not want to expose Mary. He didn't actually want to humiliate her and shame her in front of people. And I think that's pretty huge. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, there's been times in my life where I've been hurt and all I've wanted to do is even just sort of lash out. And it's not what we're called to do. But, you know, even in some little ways, sometimes even if we don't want to lash out and you know, retaliate, go against that person who's done us wrong or has betrayed us, you know, we definitely don't want to do good by them. But here Joseph is actually thinking, his plan of attack is to make an effort and to not expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. And, you know, sometimes in my life when things happen wrong, you know, I just want to be like Joseph in this point in time, where I want to you know, pray to God and say, Lord, help my heart to be like this when I'm hurt. Help my heart to just be loving towards people even when I feel betrayed. So even when people do bad things to me or I feel like somebody doesn't deserve love, I want to love them anyway. And you got to ask yourself the question, why is this? Why would Joseph, you know, this man who, you know, is seemingly in love with Mary, who actually, you know, he feels betrayed at this point in time that Mary is pregnant with somebody else's baby, you know, why would he actually want to show love to her in that instance? And the answer is actually in verse 19, where it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Faithful to the law. Depending on what version you read, it actually talks about Joseph being righteous. But whatever you want to come to the conclusion with, the fact is that Joseph was a godly man. Joseph was somebody who actually, you know, he seeked God's will in his life. Joseph was a man who wanted to love God, wanted to actually be a great Christian, a great righteous man. So it's really interesting here that, you know, part of our role as a Christian is actually to show love even when we don't feel like it. And Joseph shows this here. We're going to move on to the next slide, which is verse 20. So here we can see that Joseph, you know, he's got it figured out, right? But just before this, you know, he thought of breaking an engagement to Mary and thought that was a really great thing, you know, without Mary being hurt. That would have been a really great decision, really, if he did that. I would even go so far to say that it would have been a godly decision for Joseph to actually break it off with Mary at that point. But here we can actually see that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel of the Lord comes and from out of nowhere says something completely off the side, where out of the box, which Joseph would not expect. And I just think that is huge. You know, sometimes in our life, we can have our lives sort of planned out. We can have our future planned out or worked out. We know what decisions we want to make. And sometimes they can even seem like the best decision. But sometimes when we get input from God, he's actually able to expand our scope of vision, sort of like he did in this context with Joseph. Sometimes God can expand our understanding. Sometimes God actually helps us to look at things through his eyes in a different way that we might have never actually explored before. So I believe that a life lesson here is that when we, you know, have time to come to God and when we ask God, hey, help govern me, govern my steps, help direct my steps so that I can, you know, live according to your word, according to your plan, you know, God will open us up to a greater understanding of his ways, greater understanding of the best future that we can have. And again, although Joseph appeared to be doing the right thing, the angel comes along and through God's guidance, he makes the best decision. It took God's input to receive the best conclusion of the whole scenario. It took God's input. You know, Joseph probably didn't consider this option at all, right, to just continue going along marrying her. And at this point, I believe that he probably felt trapped. You know, I don't think it would have been a very easy thing at this point in time, even for him to, you know, to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying or listen to what the angel was saying, but then also obey. Because, you know, Joseph was in a position right now where he was, you know, if he went and married Mary, then people would have looked at him and said, well, he must have been guilty. He must have actually, you know, slept with her before marriage. He must have been the person in the wrong. And so he would have been looked down upon. He would have been professing his guilt. And remember, he was a righteous man. He would have been probably, you know, looked down upon in a business sense, in a family relational sense, and his reputation would have gone out the window. And sometimes for us, you know, we've got moments in our life where we've got to make decisions on whether we actually want to obey God or not. Do we want to do something even though it might hurt me, hurt my reputation? people might look down upon me, but is that what God's plan is? And that's something that really only you can ask yourself. Because the angel says something that isn't comfortable at all for Joseph. It required him to have faith in what would happen. You know, he could have just seen this angel, and then after that, he could have convinced himself that, no, there was no angel, because it's pretty out there, right? He could have been like, yeah, but it was just a bad pizza that I ate, or it could have been, you know, a dream of some sort. But, you know, firstly, Joseph actually had faith that this was an angel, this was God wanting to talk to him. And then secondly, he actually wanted to put that, what the angel said, in application. He actually wanted to take that action and step out and you know, actually marry Mary, even if it seemed like it could be a really rough path. So what a fantastic example Joseph was. We're going to move on to the next verse now. So we can see here that, you know, Joseph's actions speak very loud. It says here, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that Joseph actually obeyed what the angel had said. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to her son. So again, the question for us is, do we obey God even when times are tough? Or even when we feel those around us don't understand? That could be in our workplace, or it could be with our families. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of us actually know what God has to say to us, or think, or how to live a life according to God's will and to give glory to God. And a lot of people, you know, say, God, you know, like, give me answers for this situation that I'm in, give me direction in my life. But the truth is that he's actually given us a lot of answers, and that's in his Bible. That's in his word, and it's actually here for us to read. I think it's so cool that we can actually read the word of God and know that it's the truth, that it's God-inspired word that we can actually, you know, count on and we're able to actually rely on as well. You know, Joseph, in this situation, he didn't rely on his emotions to make this decision. If Joseph relied on his emotion, he would just be like, well, I feel really hurt, I feel really betrayed, and I just feel like I do not want to do this marriage thing. I feel like I'm just going to run away or do my own thing. But imagine if Joseph did that. Imagine if, you know, he ran away and he wasn't able to be the father of Jesus. You know, God had an incredible plan for him, right? And God wants you guys to know as well that God has an incredible plan for you as well, when you can trust in him and rely on him as well. You know, emotional decision-making isn't very good. And I have done some of that myself, and it has turned out to be, become some rotten consequences. But again, you know, God actually showed up in this instance. He told Joseph something through an angel, and he was able to then actually have faith in that and obey, and so many blessings came out of that. You know, Satan loves to cloud your mind and your vision, especially when you are hurt. And I hope that you guys haven't been through many hurtful situations, but I do know that a lot of you have definitely been through hurtful situations. And I don't know if you've ever realized, but when you're feeling down, when you're feeling broken, that is when the enemy actually wants to hit you the hardest. You know, the enemy's intention is to actually knock you down when you're at your low point. Sometimes that's when you don't even realize it, you know, or you're focusing on yourself too much when you shouldn't be, because you're saying, oh, why me? And making it out to be the victim. And it isn't everybody here, but I'm talking to myself here, because this has been definitely me at some points in my life. It's easy sometimes in those situations to focus on ourselves and not the bigger picture. But did Joseph have a victim mentality in this? Did he make it all about himself? No, he didn't. Joseph was actually able to take a step back, look at the bigger picture, and didn't react based on his hurts or emotions, but he was able to, you know, press into what God actually wanted for his life. And I think he just sets an awesome example in that. You know, Joseph could have been willing to make it all about himself, but he decided to listen and obey. And that's something intentional that is a decision that he had to make, but it's also a decision that we have to intentionally make as well. So we're going to move on to the next slide now. Thanks, Lauren. So we're going to just now have a look at Romans 8, verse 28. Because this is a verse that I believe that a lot of us know, but sometimes we can take a little bit out of context. So I'll just read it. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Loving God means to obey him. So the last part, I just wanted to highlight, loving God means to obey him. We'll go on to the next verse. Thanks, Lauren. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded you. So my point of bringing this verse up is that, you know, sometimes we can make decisions and say, oh, well, I'm counting on God, and so that means God's going to make it all work out for good, right? But sometimes that is not how it works, because as well as, you know, loving God, or to actually love God, I should say, it actually means to obey God. So if we can go back one slide, thanks, Lauren. When we look at this verse, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, yes, but also those who obey him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, as Christians and as disciples as well, we should be seeking God's will and obeying it and being intentional about that. And that doesn't happen naturally without being intentional. It doesn't happen by just living day to day and just thinking, yep, I'm just going to decide to, I'm just going to make good decisions today without God in it, or without thinking about what God actually wants for your life. And that's huge. For me, you know, I've been waking up and every morning saying to God or praying to the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, lead me in what I say and what I do. Help me to be more like you. And I don't, you know, always have it all together, and I'm still learning definitely on that journey. But I encourage you to do that. You know, every day, wake up and say, God, this day is yours. I want to give it to you. Do whatever you want to do through this day. Help me make my decisions. Help me to make my path about you and not about myself. Because, you know, if you're anything like me, you know, you have selfish desires. And sometimes they can creep up even when you least expect. And God actually wants to intervene in that situation. God wants you to be focusing on higher things, on things that are so much more important sometimes than ourselves as well. You know, in Joseph's context, Joseph actually did this. He listened and obeyed, and so much good came out of this that it just boggled everybody's mind, you know. He was able to be the father of God's son. How cool is that? And I wonder what God has planned for you when you actually listen and obey him yourself. So I've got just some questions as I finish up pretty soon that I want you guys to consider in your own heart and in your own mind, reflecting on your own life. So we'll go on to the next verse and one more, thanks. The question is, are you living out your plan or God's plan for your life? And maybe this is a question you might have to think about a little bit, but is it your plan or God's plan? Have you got your whole life all mapped out and this is how you want to do it? You know, you want to get married, have kids, have a house, and then retire, and that's just going to be your whole life standard. Are you going to do that? Or is God calling you to something more? Is God calling you to something bigger? And that is only something that you can actually answer by spending time with God. We're going to move on to another slide. Thanks. Another question, are you listening to God for the direction, should say, in your life? Are you listening to God for the direction in your life? And sometimes, you know, like I said, we've got to be extremely intentional about this. How do you listen to God? Well, you put time aside, you spend time with him. You spend some time in his word. You open up the Bible and say, God, help me see your truth, because I can't live this life alone the way that you want me to. God, I need you in my circumstances. I need you in my walk. And when you ask God, you know, he does answer. I think that's incredible. So again, just ask yourself that question. Are you listening to God for direction in your life? And if you're not, maybe that's something you can be intentional about over this Christmas period as we focus on Jesus. And one more question for you guys as well is, are you obeying God's direction for your life? Now, the only way that we can actually obey God's direction is if we know what God's direction is. So this is a build up from the last question. So firstly, you've got to listen to God. through his word, through his scripture, through prayer, through, you know, godly people around you. And secondly, once you figure that out, are you actually obeying him? Are you putting faith in him? Are you taking a risk? Sometimes it's not easy, but are you actually living your life for more than yourself, living your life for God? You know, God wants us to live our lives in constant state of surrender. And I believe that that is what being a disciple is all about, saying, God, my life is not about me, but it's about you and it's about something so much bigger and greater than just me. And each and every single one of you guys is a part of a bigger story. You know, this is a little part of the story that we've been looking at today. You know, but the birth of Jesus, and that story has continued all the way up until now, and it's continuing where we're actually able to have an impact for God's kingdom. And that is so huge and so awesome. You know, God's got a plan for your guys' life. But the only way that God's actually able to have an impact through you is if you surrender your life and surrender things to him. So we're actually going to break the bread and have some communion soon. And I'm going to pray for us just so that we're able to surrender. But seriously, I just want you guys to take this time to spend some time with God and just focus on him, focus on surrendering, focus on the questions that we just looked up on the screen, and consider your relationship with God. Where are you up to with him? Are you living by his life or yours? So I'm just going to pray, and then I'd love you to come out the front, get some bread, get some juice, and we're just going to celebrate Jesus and what he's done for us. So let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you love us so deeply, and that, you know, in this story, Joseph can set a great example for us. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to just surrender to you. We pray that in our lives we're living by your plan and not our own. We pray that you help us to listen, Father. We pray that you help us to obey, because we know that to truly love you is to obey you. We pray, God, that you help us to just spend some time with you today, but over Christmas as well, just reflecting on your story, but also just who you are, God, and our relationship with you. God, fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Lead us, Father. Lead us into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.